to send it on down the lines. Hello, West Virginia coal miners.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porch Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Friday morning. We made it to Friday. It's right around the corner here, and it's the weekend. Ascension Technologies text line 251-343-0106. Of course, I will try to check those texts before the conclusion of this program. Maybe I'll be successful, maybe not. We'll see. But anyway, I wanted to make that, draw that to your attention, just in case you feel inclined. Joining us now on the line, we do this every Friday about this time. I call him the returning champion, State Senator Chris Elliott. Now Josephine joins us on the line. Senator, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for coming on. Busy week for you. You don't have to give us specifics, but you've been out and about.
Definitely, you know, started obviously the week in Montgomery, with ARPA Oversight Committee, and then right into budget committees and sprinkling around some more, League of Municipalities, meetings around the state, from Dothan to Birmingham. So it's been a busy week, and finishing up here in Birmingham tonight with the, state Republican Party. So, and tomorrow with the state executive committee. So busy week. Be glad to get back to the coast.
Well, let's sit on these budget hearings, and I was kind of watching from afar, but you're a critic of what's going on with the prison construction. Did you hear anything that has made you think any differently about the progress being made?
It still is painfully slow, and it's one of those things that I just wish we could figure out a way to really make it move faster, and it's just not. The one of the things that is most frustrating and that I continue to see is that so many of the problems we see, from contraband to staffing to prison safety and everything in between, all of these things, in my opinion, can be fixed or at least significantly alleviated by new facilities. I was talking with my colleague, Senator Clyde Chambliss, during one of those meetings on prison construction, and we were talking about contraband and it getting over the fence, and I said, you know, Senator Chambliss, how in the world, what am I missing here? And he pointed out, he knows I've been to a lot of these facilities and looked at them, and he said, think about where the fence is related to the property line at some of these facilities. And I remember Tutwiler in particular is right there on the road. And so it's one of those things where contraband is flying over the fence, right, left, and sideways, because there's a road right next to it, or the facility's built right on the property line. And of course, these are vestiges of the Wallace administration when these facilities were built. And we didn't contemplate cell phones being thrown over the fence during the Wallace administration. And that's exactly what we've got going on now. The new facilities, of course, will have wide open areas and multiple fences, so we can cut down on that. So little things like that just, I'm so excited about the new facilities and anxious about the new facilities getting here, because I think they're going to solve an awful, awful lot of our problems.
Well, my question here is this. The prisons are a component of all of these discussions and getting them up and running to fix some of the problems. But just structurally, the Alabama Department of Corrections, there is clearly some deficiencies. And you know all the problems. I'm boring this audience with my tirades about it. But why not? Why does it ever seem to seem some kind of oversight effort or something to say, all right, We need to prioritize here. We need to categorize what the problems are, if it is death row inmates, execution warrants being done, if it is, like you said, building the prisons, if corrections officers. And I don't know, like the commercials I've seen produced by the ADOC are very, very, the very amateur hour. Just things like this. Solving those problems, and then maybe look at the bigger picture of, like, how do we reduce recidivism? How do we, take care of public safety? You put that first. Like, it just seems like ADOC, all you hear is like, well, it's just a hard job, and nobody really wants it, and we're doing the best we can, but I it seems just very unsatisfactory for a guy like me.
Well, you know, look, you're right. I mean, it is a hard job and nobody wants it, but that's kind of a cop out. I mean, and I will say that it is incumbent upon the executive branch to to lead. There is no question about that. The executive needs to execute and fix these problems. Now, that will take time, and I understand that for sure. And it's not a job many people would want. I know you've asked on your program before, what would it cost for you to go be a corrections officer? And, I'm not sure what it would cost for somebody to go be a corrections commissioner. But I will tell you, the key here in my mind is for leadership within the executive branch to look at the big problems we have. We have got to triage. We've got a whole bunch of different problems. And, this body is on the table, and we're trying to keep it alive right now. And we're nitpicking around the edges on criminal justice reform over here and this little thing over here. And we need to stop and function or focus on the functions that will keep this thing moving and do the most good. The first thing that we can do for that is to get this prison construction moving and to focus any and all of our efforts on making sure that happens with all due haste, because that is going to be the catalyst that solves and alleviates so many of these other issues. The other thing we have got to do is make sure that we take measures to keep and retain and to recruit corrections officials in the near term. They are day to day struggling to control the population. And unfortunately, for the prisoners from where I come from, their needs need to be pushed to the back. We need to keep them safe from each other. Yes, we need to keep the guards safe from them. And there will be a time when things get better once these facilities are up and running and we have the adequate staffing. But those are the two things we need to focus on right now. And everything else needs to take a back burner. All of these early release, all of this, this stuff that feels good about, rehabilitating people and them, learning. And I was at Draper this, the beginning of the week, with Ingram State. Those are great programs, and we need to focus on them, but we need to focus on them later. We need to get these facilities up and running and get corrections officers in the building to take care of them, and then we'll look at all the other feel-good stuff.
Well, yeah, it's like you got a guy with a bullet wound on the table here, and you're clipping his fingernails or something. You just scratch your head. Why aren't we talking about this right now? And it's like, those are the people that are dominating the discussion, and I usually am dismissive of these, the whatever reason. We have a whole cottage industry of let them all out anti-prison types, but they tend, and tell me this is your impression, and you don't have to name any names here or anything, but they tend to dominate a lot of the discussion on this stuff, and I think that's to a fault.
Well, it is, and listen, this is a key function of leadership. Anybody that's led a big organization, a big company, a county, a state, whatever, should be able to look at this and say to those folks who have good ideas and are well-intentioned, what you are saying is important. What you are saying is something that we should look at, but understand that the role that I hold is going to necessitate that I solve these big problems first, that I keep this thing moving and operating, and then we'll worry about the other parts of it. And that's got to come from the governor's office, and it's got to come from the administration. And I hate to sound like I'm beating up on them all the time, but here we are talking about let's let a couple thousand prisoners out early, and that'll give us, that'll help something. That's not helping anything. That's causing a public safety problem. It's not focused on the underlying problem, and that's what we need to be worried about right now. We'll deal with the rest of it later. And frankly, that needs to be the message to the Fed, too. We are doing everything we can. We are investing huge sums of money in our prisons right now. The Department of Corrections budget request is just shy of $700 million this year. When you think about an ALDOT budget request from state money only, that's about $1.2 billion. Think about that in comparison to prisons, how much we're spending on prisons. The feds have got to realize that, and I think that they will recognize leadership if it is clearly articulated. That's what we need right now.
Well, you mentioned a governor here and journalist agitator here hitting on the governor. I know nothing new, but my kind of takeaway from the way they handle a lot of things, and including this, it's like, we'll let you know. It's like, The transparency is only on a need-to-know basis. That it's better that we discuss these things behind the scenes so we don't politicize them, because that is how you get things done. And you guys, you chronic malcontents out there in the right-wing crazy talk radio world, you just need to – we're not going to be part of your little game. And I find that so, like, elitist and so – it's just not how government is supposed to work. There's just no you go to these guys and you say, oh, what is going on here? And they'll point you in a bunch of different directions. But deep down, they're like, hey, we're the guys trying to get stuff done here, and you just need to butt out. And I don't know if that's your impression, but it seems like that's the vibe I get from the governor's office, where you're kind of like, what are you doing here? How are you fixing this?
And listen, if a dictatorial heavy-handed approach was working right now, then that'd be okay. I mean, you know, that's not what I would prefer, obviously, as an elected, you know, legislator. I would certainly hope for more buy-in. But Jeff, over the entire administration's history, that's proven to be a failure. That's not how it works. And what we end up doing is squandering opportunity and squandering time, not having buy-in on the I-10 bridge, trying to simply ram that through and run over everybody was a disaster, cost time and hundreds of millions of dollars. On prisons, again, I'm going to do it my own way. You know, the legislature back 10 years ago didn't work with Governor Bentley during in the middle of his impeachment. Who would have thought that they would have? So I'm going to have to do this on my own, and I'm going to sign this giant contract with two big stacks of paper and look like I'm doing everything however I want to fix this problem and showing leadership. But what happened? It blew up. It didn't work. Getting buy-in from the legislature and from other folks that know what they're talking about is the only way to be successful in my mind. And I think, you know, I hope that the governor, I guess I should say, and her administration will come around to that way of thinking. I mean, we're not all a bunch of malcontents. There are concerns. And yes, if you give us some information, just as simple as, hey, think about where the fences are located on the property line. All of a sudden, that's a tidbit of information that, frankly, I didn't think about. And once it was explained, I went, you know what, that makes a lot of sense. Why not share that information? Why not have those conversations and get people on board as opposed to simply trying to run over them? It just doesn't make sense to me, and I think it is a leadership problem.
Well, it's the herd of turtles, and what they try to say, hey, should the legislature have buy-in when you have public health emergencies? Oh, no. We need a strong leadership, dictatorial. Well, they didn't use dictatorial, but you see where it's sort of a mentality here. And like you said, if it were working, that would be one thing. None of this is really working. You know, Governor Ivey could say, well, I win my elections. I won with 55% of the vote in the primary. I see this as a mandate, and I guess this is what we're getting. But right now, I think, I don't know how close the state is, but to me, I've been saying this for 2 years now. It feels like it's on the brink of the DOJ just saying enough's enough. I don't know why it hasn't happened already, to be honest. And at times, Senator, I hate to say this, but it's almost like the disrepair and everything that's going on, it's like by design. It's like a plea, please come in and intervene and do some of the heavy lifting for us so we don't have to. And I mean, I don't know what else am I to take away from this?
Well, and unfortunately, you do see some of that, right? You see that with road projects. I know you were talking recently about the bridge project that goes into Gulf Shores and Orange Beach, and the conversation seems to be, well, we'll just let the courts settle it and figure it out. And it, no matter what it costs, then we don't have to actually get buy-in from the communities there. You know, I hope that this is not the same thing with the with prisons, because that will be very, very expensive. Where the administration is saying, well, we'll just let the courts, you know, we'll just roll over and say, I've done all I can do. I give up. That's just not an acceptable answer for me. And I will tell you, from the legislature standpoint, if you look at it, we're trying. I mean, the legislature gets a bad rap sometimes, but you've only got so much authority from a budget standpoint to appropriate money. And then the administration budgets and executes, you know, based on that funding. And, you know, I just wish we would focus on these bigger issues and be firm about where the path forward is, as opposed to this kind of this disjointed approach.
Got a couple more minutes here with State Senator Chris Elliott. Legislative session right around the corner. What are we to expect in the early stages? Because, you know, typically the first year of quadrennium, you have a really good idea about where things are headed. And, you know, last time it was a gas tax, if you've forgotten. I'm sure you haven't. But, you know, anything other than ARPA money, that was just kind of a, you know, not exactly a hot button, I would say. But do you have any sense of where this is headed?
Yeah, I think we can expect a special session from everything I'm hearing, which is not a whole lot, to be fair, at least from official sources. Pretty early on, I think that the budget chairman and the administration are huddling right now to at least get a framework out of that. I'm glad to hear from our budget chairman that at least they're going to come back to the caucus and to the body and talk about buy-in from that, as opposed to just simply saying, here it is, take it or leave it, which I think is a very dangerous approach. I have some real concerns about ARPA money and how it's been spent so far. I have real concerns about the ability to spend it by the 2026 deadline. And those are some things that I'm going to want to, and I'm going to have some input and impact on, or we're going to have a problem on the floor. And then, of course, there's, you know, this idea of economic development incentives as well. There is a reason they are sunsetting, and that is so that the legislature can come back and look and tweak and say what's working and what's not working. I know I am in particular focused on tourism incentives. Obviously, that's a big thing for coastal Alabama, but for around the state as well. Our tourism incentives that currently are in there are not working well. They've only been used once in the whole state since their inception, and that was at OWA and Foley. The problem is they're modeled after a manufacturing facility, and that's just not how tourism works. So we need to update those. That's exactly why we have this look back at tourism incentives. So the special session will be very busy, from my estimation, on what we've got to get done, what we've got to tweak, and what we've got to work on. So I expect those first couple of weeks to be some kind of busy.
Real quick, you said something that I think is very interesting there, but the whole incentives discussion, and you see in the full court press from Canfield, the Commerce Secretary, and a bunch of other guys, just to open the floodgates and let them go wild. You sound like you at least have some reservations about where some of those in power want this to go.
Well, I think the key thing that we need to really look at is that we've used our last mega site in Alabama, and that was in Baldwin County, but we don't have the existing sites ready to go. We don't have the inventory that is necessary to land the big projects, like we have seen in Baldwin. You know, obviously the Toyota Mazda site, Hyundai, others, in the eastern part of the state, and of course the Novelis in North Baldwin were all mega sites that had been around for a long time, that had been worked on for a long time, that the infrastructure had been brought to if it wasn't already there. Unfortunately, we've used that inventory up, and there hasn't been the push to get that inventory built back up. We're going to have to work on that some now. My question on the incentives is, if we don't have the inventory for the sites for folks to locate, then why are we increasing this? So I intend to take a critical look on that. Generally, I'm supportive, because I think that's the game we're in, and we have to play it if we're going to be successful. But that doesn't mean being critical. That doesn't mean a blank check. And I think some of my colleagues feel the same way.
Senator, you're always very kind to come on this program. Have a good weekend, and we will talk again next week.
Thanks so much, Jeff. Enjoy the weekend.
Thank you. That was State Senator Chris Elliott there. We got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5.
First thing I remember knowing was a lonesome whistle blowing and a youngin's dream of growing up to ride.